96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs live here in St. Joseph, Missouri, covering Chiefs training camp. Here with you for another 30 minutes before we hand it off to Josh Verner and those Kansas City Royals as the Royals pregame show gets set to get going with Vern and the Royals. First pitch, 12:37. They look to win that series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Game three of a series against one of the best teams in baseball. Seth Lugo on the mound today, so we will see how he does in the rubber match. Travis Kelce Day this Thursday, 8-7. We're celebrating Travis Kelce all day on Fesco and Dusty, and we are going to have all the voices from 96.5 The Fan give their favorite memories. We want you to do that as well. Send it an audio message on the Odyssey app, and please tell us your favorite memory, whether it's something on the football field or off the football field. Kelce's been here for a long time, 13 years, getting ready for season 14, I believe it, or season Yeah, getting ready for season 13 as a Kansas City Chief. So he's made a big impact on and off the field. I know Jay Binkley already gave his stat and his memory of Travis Kelce, so we'll be playing that, of course, on Thursday, 8-7, Travis Kelce Day. All day, guests, all morning, memories and quotes all about Travis Kelce on Fesco and Dusty from 6 to 10, Thursday, 8-7. Still joined here by Jay Binkley and Shamari Connor, hoping to join the show here in about 20 minutes or so. We'll be joined by the third-year safety and corner, Shamari Connor. Jay Binkley still with us. What's going on, Jay?
What's going on, my friend? What's going on, my friend? What time is Taylor joining you?
Hopefully we'll have... Oh, Taylor's... Hopefully Taylor Swift will join
this man
right
over didn't even know what you were saying. He was just about to talk about whatever he could think of.
At first he said, I thought he said
Juwan Taylor. Have Juwan Taylor on to talk about Kelce. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah, we'll do that. At first I thought you meant, I thought you said Connor, and I was like, oh, Jamari Connor, yeah, he'll be on in, 15, 20 minutes. We're going to have him on, man. But I was like, no, yes, Taylor Swift, we're still working on that. I don't know if that'll happen. I'll keep that a surprise, but I will say we will have some awesome guests. We are going to have some big-time names and some people that you know and that know Travis Kelce really well. So still watching offenses and defenses here in the red zone drills and talking to Jay Binkley about the rest of football. We were just talking about the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams. We talked about the offensive line here, the Kansas City Chiefs, both the left side and the right side on the tackle position. What about the Cincinnati Bengals? Because they've been a hot-button topic all offseason around the NFL. The Shamar Stewart thing, finally that contract gets negotiated. The Trey Hendrickson debacle and all of that drama, whether he's going to get a contract or not. He is now back in Cincinnati, but still have not been able to get anything written down or finalized on paper as far as an extension for the 30 or 31-year-old edge rusher and Trey Hendrickson, who's led the league in sacks these past two seasons. What's your thought on Cincinnati this year?
Last year during the season, I really considered them on that tier. That top tier with the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, and then the Bengals. They've got the talent offensively. I mean, that offense is just gelling, except that line. The offensive line has been so brutal. And Joe Burrow put up a huge season. I mean, honestly, it was an MVP-type season, but he was great. But given T. Higgins, that money, I thought Trey Hendrickson should have been earmarked that, even though he's still under contract. I felt he should have been the one to get that money because you already have Jamar Chase. He won the Triple Crown for numbers at wide receiver. And I think, honestly, he's the best wide receiver in the National Football League that he's got there. They're utilizing their tight ends more in Cincinnati. Good offense. Like I said, good offense. Defense still concerns me. Lou Anarumo's gone. And, he wasn't that great against the rest of the NFL, but for some reason he knew how to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's the number one block that they have to do is beat the Chiefs. Jermaine Pratt, one of the leading tacklers all the time now with the Raiders because they didn't want him. They cut him. So losing him at linebacker was big. And then Trey Hendrickson, not happy. In the last 2 years, he has more sacks than anybody in the National Football League. It's a wait and see, man. You can be as good as you want on offense. Clearly, we've seen tons of good offenses around the NFL, like the 0-3 Chiefs, right? They could score 30 points a game. They couldn't stop anybody. So until further notice, I don't think the Bengals are in tier one. I think tier two, could they move up? Sure. But I want to see what that defense can do.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy to me how little they've added. I don't even mind them not doing the Trey Hendrickson deal personally because, how good was their defense with Trey Hendrickson, right? It's not a one-guy show.
But he's this good to the quarterback, though. And here's the thing. Shamar Stewart, I know they drafted a defensive end like that to get. Shamar Stewart had 1.5 sacks, man. And keep in mind, Texas A&M kind of ruins guys because Nick Scordon once led the Big Ten in sacks. He transfers to A&M. His numbers are down. But Shamar Stewart, 1.5. And the last first-round pick to sign, the Bengals now have signed the last first-round pick for 2 straight years because of Marius Mims was the last first-round pick to sign the year before. But not a huge believer in Shamar Stewart. I thought that was a reach, to be honest with you. But I think defense is still a liability for a team that only starts low.
Defense could be a liability in Dallas, too, if they don't figure this Micah Parsons thing out. He wrote a note 2 days ago saying, I'm done in Dallas. I want to be done. I've tried to have my agent reach out for over almost 2 years now, and I've been left with nothing, right? I've been ghosted, practically, is basically what he said. And he said he wants out. He's done. He wanted to give his life and his career to Dallas, and that has now changed. What's your take on Micah Parsons? Is he on the move?
I don't think so. I think when Jerry said, you know, I wouldn't lose sleep over this if I was a fan. I have no plans on trading him. I think cooler heads prevail. I mean, this is just what Jerry does, man. The CD Lamb contract. Remember Dak Prescott on opening day of the NFL gets a deal. Jerry just waits for some reason. I mean, I don't think there's any good in waiting. We know Micah Parsons is worth it. Sit here and you watch TJ Watt get his mega contract. Max Crosby gets paid as well. Hell, even George Karloff is now a top 10 paid pass rusher. So we've seen all these other guys get signed. Honestly, I think cooler heads will prevail and they'll keep him because they know that that guy's an absolute superstar. And edge rushers are so, so tough to get, especially good ones like Micah Parsons. I think it's a negotiating ploy, clearly, by Micah Parsons, but I think cooler heads will prevail and he'll still be a Cowboy because this is just what happens with that team. Drama is always happening to the Dallas Cowboys. They love to be talked about. They love to be in the news. Trust me, they love this Micah Parsons deal because people are talking about the Dallas Cowboys when there's not a huge reason to talk about them, but I do think he'll end up in Dallas still.
Yeah, I mean, this happened with Dak Prescott, as you mentioned. We saw this with CeeDee Lamb. Like, this has been and on for whatever reason. This is the way they do business. Badly is the way I'd say it. They do it poorly. They do it expensively, and they do it with no lack of headlines or discussion. And that just is for whatever reason is the way he likes it. So I think you're right. I think he probably does end up in Dallas. What about Terry McLaurin? This is new ownership, man. Like, they didn't draft Terry McLaurin, and now he's upset. He's been the mainstay. He's been the one thing that Commanders fans have had to look positively on over the past few years until Jaden Daniels and this kind of new era has begun with the new ownership. What's your take on Scary Terry?
I mean, I think a lot like Mike. I think he ends up staying there. That team's on the cusp, man. I mean, they get all the way to the NFC title game last year. They have a franchise quarterback now. They made moves on their offensive line, really shoring that up. They bring in Deebo Samuel. I mean, that keeps adding. And look at Terry. Every year, except I think the first one, but every other year he's got 1,000 yards. I mean, he's got a string of 1,000-yard seasons going. He means that much to the offense. He means that much to the quarterback there. The Jaden combination with McLaurin is too big, and they have to know that. I mean, they make all these moves. They make trades. They make moves. They had a good draft. They do everything to shore up the future franchise quarterback and a team that's looking for success. They're not going to let him go. They're going to find a way to make McLaurin happy. I get it. This is what players do. Gets a negotiation. Hey, I want traded. I want out. They'd be stupid to let him go from that team, and I don't think he will. They made too many moves to bolster that offense. To let him go would be ridiculous.
And he kind of has all the leverage. They really need him, and they're an old team. Like, you can say, like, oh, okay, you don't want to pay me because I'm 30. You've paid everyone else here that's over 30, so why aren't you paying the guy that's actually put in the work for you? And not to mention Cortland Sutton, same age, same position over in Denver, just got a pretty big bag, and Terry's widely regarded as a better wide receiver than him. So
he's got 5 straight years of 1,000 yards, man. 5 straight. I mean, he's got a hell of a streak going. We talk about Kelsey's streaks and all this, you know, streaks that he had, the 7 straight years of 1,000 yards. McLaurin's got 5 and counting. And again, my 1,000 yards in the NFL for receivers, we look at that number and like, okay, you know, running backs, receivers get 1,000 yards, that's good. But let's think about it. It's only 58 yards a game. I get that, but he's too good.
Talking here to Jay Binkley just for a minute or two more as we are live here in St. Joseph, Missouri, watching Chiefs training camp right here on 96.5 The Fan. Chamari Connor, about 10 minutes away. We'll talk to Chamari Connor just for a few minutes
before
we hand it off to Josh Vernier and the Royals for the Royals pregame show. Talking about Terry, wide receiver in the NFL. What about the wide receivers here in Kansas City? Let's say Rashee Rice is suspended 4 games. Give me the 6 wide receivers that make the roster, not named Rashee Rice.
Worthy, for sure. I mean, it's okay. A given. Brown, Juju makes the team. And clearly, Jalen Royals is going to make the team. And then there's a battle. I think they do keep 7. They kept 7 the two previous years.
Okay.
And it was 5 the year before. I think they keep 7 just because of the uncertainty with the injuries and suspension going forward. And I get it. If he is suspended, it won't count against the roster. But Nico Remigio, they really like him. Like, Tobe really, really likes him on special teams and returner, and he keeps getting better. And keep in mind, you know, the ball is going to be spotted at the 35 now and not the 30, so it's going to be more premium. So I think Nico stands a great chance to make this too. And Taekwon is a great gunner on special teams as well. And not only that, he's 4.28 speed. He actually had 4.21 40 at the combine before. He would have beaten John Ross's record. He would have beaten that before Worthy did, but then they watched film and everything of the 40 and gave him a 4.28, which still, he was a second-round pick, 50th overall selection, didn't work out in New England. Hell, Juju didn't work out in New England. Without Tom Brady, that is a clown show for wide receivers until Vrabel comes and solidifies that. So I'm not holding that against him. Does need to crisp up the routes a little bit, but I almost thought Nico and then Taekwon would be the final two receivers on this roster. But I've been in camp of drafting 2 receivers every year. And I know that,
throw
the dart at Sky Moore, throw the dart at Rashee Rice, throw it at Jalen Royals. But look what happens when a Hollywood Brown that, is good for missing 2 or 3 games a year, situation, then Rice. Then all of a sudden you get down to a situation where you're throwing to Juju and Taekwon Thornton. Like, that's not what you want.
No, it's not, and that's why drafting guys like Jalen, like you mentioned, Jalen Royals, Xavier, and Rashee Rice, those guys, if they're all healthy, hopefully are going to be the mainstay in the future of the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver core for some time. Jay, we really appreciate the time, brother. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, man, have fun up there at camp and enjoy the interview with Shamari.
Thank you so much. That is the Binkster, Jay Binkley, our Chiefs enthusiast and beer lover. Love that guy. Glad he was able to join us and talk to us for a little bit about Chiefs receivers and the rest of the NFL and just how crazy it is, because we are gearing up. Again, first Chiefs preseason game coming up this upcoming Saturday in Arizona against the Cardinals, 7 p.m. The only place to hear that right here, 96.5 The Fan. It's your home for the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up next, it's Chamari Connor, year 3 Kansas City Chiefs, drafted in the 4th round in 2023 out of Virginia Tech. He's a Hokie. We're going to talk to him about his role in this Kansas City Chiefs defense coming up next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Practice concluding here in St. Joe as you hear the crowd welcoming the Chiefs as they end off practice, running in their stretching lines. It's a fun day here at practice in St. Joe. About 75, maybe touched 80 degrees. The sun pretty much covered by clouds almost the whole day. A nice breeze. I don't see any sweat rings like I would have a couple weeks ago here in St. Joe. It's really, really nice right now. And they are ending practice, and that means we expect to be joined by Chamari Connor here in just the next few minutes, right before we get out of here and hand it off to Josh Vernier and the drive. Josh Vernier and the Royals pregame show as the Royals get ready to take on the Toronto Blue Jays again. First pitch, 12:37. Josh Vernier with you for an hour from 11:30 until they get that game going. Yesterday at practice, it was all about Hollywood Brown not being there. He's still not out here today. Today it's another wide receiver. Jalen Royals was electric today. Truthfully, Jalen Royals was awesome. I mean, he was catching every pass that came his way. His hands are so strong. And then you saw some offensive line drills. Jalen Moore and Jawan Taylor both splitting reps at the right tackle with the ones. It seemed like Jawan Taylor was getting the first reps, and he was getting maybe an edge as far as amount of snaps taken, but it was pretty dang close for both those guys as far as who was getting the main number one starts with right tackle. Saw the one-on-one offensive line drills versus defensive line. Josh Simmons looked great for the most part. There was an Ashton Gelati rep, though, against Josh Simmons where he killed it. I mean, Josh Simmons went out like Ashton Gelati was going to beat him to the outside, and a nice spin move inside got him past Josh Simmons with a lot of ease. So there is going to be some some kinks, right? There's going to be some moments of learning, of getting used to this, of being in the National Football League, right? And it's cool to see a rookie give him one of those, another rookie give him one of those, and have it be Ashton Gelati. He could be a difference maker here as well. It just seems like there's so many chances for guys to make differences here as far as younger guys on this Chiefs team and this Chiefs defense too, because Omar Norman Lott looked really good in some of those drills too. Both those defensive linemen are going to play key parts in stopping the run and pressuring the opposing passer for the Kansas City Chiefs this year, and they're going to have to hopefully do so early and often, because they come out the gates firing. We know this Friday, this Saturday, the only place to listen to the first preseason game against the Cardinals is right here, 96.5 The Fan. They play, can't remember their second. They play the Seahawks, and then they end the preseason against the Bears. But we know their first four games of the season, it's no joke. It's the Chargers, the Eagles, the Giants, and the Ravens. As far as offenses go, you get a little break there, I guess, against the Giants. Relatively so to the rest of that competition. But other than that, man, I mean, jeez. Chargers, Eagles, and Ravens, those are all going to be the top of the class. Eagles and Ravens are elite and the two best rosters in the NFL. So we're going to know early about some of these young guys and the impact that they're going to be able to make. As we just have a few minutes left here at practice is ending here in St. Joe, live here on 96.5 The Fan, until we hand it off to Josh Vernier for Royals pregame. Remember, a week from today is when I start Fantasy Football Sundays. August 10th, August 17th, August 24th, I will have draft strategies, pre-draft shows, kind of getting you ready for who you want on your team. I know those fantasy draft or those fantasy chats, those fantasy group chats are heating up again, and it's kind of becoming real, right? You're starting to look up, okay, who's the sleepers that I want? Who do I want to target? How many wide receivers in the first 10 rounds? All that sort of stuff, right? I'm going to have tips. I'm going to have the do's and the don'ts. And, of course, 913-586-7965, our text line, our Jay Southland tow service text line, does not close. So please utilize that as well. I would love to answer any and all of your questions, because Fantasy Football Sunday, man, we are back starting next week, every Sunday live from 9 to 10. I'm here to answer your questions. And did I hear that you're actually doing Sunday mornings once football actually starts? Yes, yeah, 9 to 10. 9 to 10, Sunday mornings. We'll be here for Fantasy Football Sunday. We got to speak to Jaden Hicks yesterday, hoping to get a minute or two with Chamari Connor, as they're still doing a couple of reps here. So we'll wait on that as we get going. And we will go to Andy Reid just for a couple minutes here before we get out of here and say goodbye to you all. Hopefully Chamari Connor can take a visit for a minute or two for a question. But for right now, let's listen to Andy Reid, who's at the podium, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You've got to do what you can do and can't do. So this was one of those days that we had. So with that progress being made, time's yours.
Red zone work today. I just wonder how you evaluate your work there last year as a whole, whenever you did the offseason.
Yeah. Red zone, third downs, you know, these things, you can always get better at them. So even though we were one of the top third down team, well, you got to be better at that. So on both sides of the ball, we did well. Red zone, we did pretty good there. In you know, in certain situations down in distance. So we got a lot of second and third down plays today, which end up being important. You don't get a lot of work on that in the red zone, so we tried to focus on that throughout there.
Christian Fulton to be available soon to start working?
We're hoping, yeah. We're just kind of taking it day by day. He started to run here, so we'll see where it goes.
Andy, last time we talked about Hollywood, you said you hope it wasn't serious. Do you have any update on his status?
Making progress, but it's in that ankle area, so we just want to make sure it's right. You know, that's how we want to come out of this thing, and he is making progress, but we'll just see. It's not serious. When I say serious, I'm talking about surgery. Doesn't look like he's going to have surgery, but we've got to let it heal up and go.
And Chris, have you been with Thornton and Brownlee, two guys kind of spike for at the end of that ring?
Yeah, no, listen, I think they're doing a nice job. I mean, you saw Brownlee with a couple of high balls there. I didn't hear who the other one was you mentioned. Yeah, Thornton's doing a nice job too, likewise. So both are big guys. Thornton is a runner, and Brownlee is a big, strong kid. You know, so a little different styles, but both of them are good players.
When it comes to guys coming back from a major injury the year before, I know you always appreciate how grueling it is to come back, but for someone like...
You heard him, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Big Red, Andy Reid, talking about the injury to wide receiver Hollywood Brown. It is an ankle. He is running again. There will be no surgery needed. They just want to get him back. They're being cautious. You could look at that negatively and say, crap. Or you could say, hey, it's okay. They're being cautious. It's August 3rd. And if he's fine in a month, then he's fine in a month. And we won't think about this again. It's going to be okay. The vibes are high here. Make sure you stay locked into 96.5 The Fan, because Josh Vernier's coming up. The Kansas City Royals are coming up. And a game against the Toronto Blue Jays is coming up. Can they win the series? Vernier will give you all the angles and the things to talk about. Thank you so much for joining in to me live from St. Joe. It's 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.